In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family. And as always, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is also the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And we call out to Mary in that beautiful prayer at the end of the rosary. It's called the Hail Holy Queen, which we cry out to Mary as our Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So of all the prayers that we can say to Mary, the prayer that Mary loves most is the Hail Mary. So let's say the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's invite also to be with us our spiritual guide. Who is our spiritual guide? It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many names. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit also is known as the Sweet Guest of Our Soul. In the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So let's, in song, let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us as we sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now in us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint John of the Cross, pray for us. Saint John the Baptist, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my friends in Jesus and Mary, as they often say, I will pray for all of you today in my Mass. I have Mass at 6 p.m. and I'll place all of you on the altar during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Pray that God will give you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of grace, that you'll be able to really live out to the fullest degree this holy season of Lent. We've entered into this holy season of Lent just 2 days ago with Ash Wednesday. With Ash Wednesday, the priest imposing the ashes could have said one of two things. Be converted and believe in the gospel, or repent and believe in the gospel. And the other, remember that you are dust, and into dust shall you return. Those are two words that kind of orient us for this holy season of Lent. The first is we're called to conversion, to change our lives. And also it's a call for all of us to recognize our mortality. When I say mortality, it means that all of us one day, we're going to pass from this life to the next. So all of us, we're not going to be living forever, but rather we're going to die one day. So it's a good idea to think about our lives, the purpose of our lives. St. Ignatius points out very clearly that we are created for this purpose. We're created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that to save our souls. That's why we're here. Now, on Ash Wednesday, if you went to Mass, the priest read the Gospel of St. Matthew, and he gave the three ways in which we can arrive at this conversion of heart. Three different ways, and I'll go through them. Father Al Hall pointed out, we're called to go up, we're called to go in, we're called to go out. A three-dimensional way in which we can arrive at our conversion. A call to go up, a call to go in, and a call to go out. What does that mean? Call to go up, in, and out. When we say the call to go up, Jesus says in that gospel, we're called to pray. And he says, don't think that by many words that God will hear you. But also, prayer from the heart. Prayer from the heart. One occasion in the life of the Curie of Ars, St. John Vianney, he noticed in the back of the church, there's a very simple man that would come to the church, and he spent long hours there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And the Curie of Ars asked him, what do you do? And the man said, I don't really say too much. I look at him, and he looks at me. And I get up filled with love. So he was praying the prayer of the heart. Praying the prayer of the heart. And prayer can be defined as a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. So we go up through prayer. We go in through penance. We go out through almsgiving, by giving to others. So my friends, today, the first Friday of Lent, very interesting. We've got two readings today, which basically focus upon the same theme. And the theme today is that of fasting. Isaiah presents fasting is related also to almsgiving. He makes that connection. Fasting is related to almsgiving. If indeed we are fasting, that should also move us to help others. They should be connected. Now, the gospel today is this. The disciples of John the Baptist go to Jesus and say, Lord, why is it that John the Baptist, his disciples fast, and your disciples do not fast? And Jesus responds to defend his disciples, and he says, when the wedding groom is with the company, they do not fast. But when the groom is taken away, then they will fast. And Jesus was the wedding groom. Jesus is not denying that they should fast, but rather there's a time and place for everything. There's a time and a place for everything. Now during Lent, there are specifically 2 days in which the church obliges us to fast. That would be Ash Wednesday as well as Good Friday. Those are the 2 days. By fasting, the age range which the church requires is from 18 to 59. And the fasting would be to eat a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening, and a midday meal that would not exceed the two. So that's Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. The other Fridays in Lent are days of what are called abstinence. Abstinence means abstaining from eating meat. But also in the time of Lent, we're called to practice some type of penance. We should try to do this all the days of Lent. Some form of penance. So I'm going to talk a little bit about fasting today, and I'd like to open up the door to different ways in which we can fast. And not to forget that this is a classical Catholic practice or biblical practice. For example, if we go through the Bible, we see many, many important figures that were fasting. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he received the Ten Commandments. Daniel fasted. Daniel fasted on vegetables, and he was healthier than the other men who did not. We find in the book of Jonah that the Ninevites actually fasted. And because of this, God saved the Ninevites. Then we have in the book of Esther. Esther fasted so that God would save the people from being destroyed from their enemies. We see in the Old Testament also that David applied himself to the practice of fasting. Then, as mentioned earlier, John the Baptist and his disciples, they also would fast. And one of the most famous passages of fasting would be Pentecost. That'd be Mary and the apostles, they spent 9 days and nine nights in prayer and fasting, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. So there we have many people fasting. Before important missions, they would fast. We have several times in which Saint Paul would fast. So what I'd like to do today, I'm going to try to open up the door to a more extensive way, and we can practice the whole concept of fasting. I'd like to tell you a little personal, a little anecdote that can help us out. One occasion, I was taking a walk, and in front of me, I noticed there was a black bird. The black bird was a crow. And I noticed that the crow, as I got drew close to the crow when I was walking, the crow did not take off, because usually you get close to birds and then they take flight. But this time the crow did not take off. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'm a modern Saint Francis. Maybe I've got a certain charisma over these birds. But the crow did not take flight because the crow had a wing that was broken. And then they got closer to the crow. A slew of crows came down, almost attacking me because they wanted to defend their companion. The knife flew off, trying to save myself. Thanks be to God that I didn't get attacked by the crows. But it made me think. It made me reflect. The thought that occurred to me was, in our spiritual life, to fly high, we must have two wings. And what are those two wings? One wing is the wing of prayer, and the other one is the wing of penance or fasting. We might even say a third wing would be that of almsgiving. So we go up, go in, and go out. We go up, we go in, and we go out. We go up through prayer. We go in through penance, fasting. We go out through the practice of almsgiving. Go up, go in, and go out. Okay, that being the case, I'd like to give you 10 different ways in which we can fast. This comes from an article that I wrote a time back. Number one. Eat less and receive the most holy Eucharist more. You like that? I repeat. Eating less and receiving Holy Communion more. And if you like to develop this thought, you can read and meditate upon what is called the Discourse on the Bread of Life. The Discourse on the Bread of Life is found in John chapter 6, 27 to verse 70. It's a long chapter. In this chapter, John chapter 6, we see a contrast. Jesus starts out by preaching to the people, and they did not have enough food to eat. So Jesus ends up by multiplying the loaves so that the people can eat. Then Jesus walks on the water. So he does two stupendous miracles. The multiplication of the loaves. And then Jesus walks on the water. Then Jesus gets up and he gives a brilliant discourse. And this is called the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus goes on to say, your forefathers ate the bread, the manna, but they died. And Jesus goes on to say, do not seek the bread that will perish, but seek the bread that will give eternal life. Do not seek the bread that will perish, but the bread that will give eternal life. So the point I'd like to make here is the following. We have to eat. But when we pray the Our Father, we say, Give us this day our daily bread. What do we mean by this daily bread? We're praying the Lord's Prayer. We mean this. We should think about three interpretations of the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for health so that we can work and provide the daily bread for our family. Another bread that we're begging for, give us this day our daily bread, is the bread of the Word of God. Jesus said, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to tempt Jesus and said, why don't you turn those stones into bread? Jesus responded by saying, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Isn't that why we come together every morning? Because we're striving, my friends, to grow in our love for Christ by meditating upon the bread of the Word. The bread of the Word, which is the Bible. Every day we try to go through some of the readings of the day so that you can meditate upon the bread of the Word of God. But we want to have a hunger also for the bread of life. Now, I think you know where I'm heading with this. And it's the following. We should have a real desire to go to Mass, if it's possible. If it's at all possible, we want to try to go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We want to participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass fully, actively, and consciously, as Vatican II points out. And we want to receive the Eucharist. We want to receive the Eucharist. Now, if that's impossible for us to go to Mass and to receive the Eucharist, then we've encouraged this over the course of the pandemic, then all of us can try at least to follow the Mass online. That can be done. We have the Mass online at 8 o'clock and 6 p.m. every day. Follow the Mass online and see if you can get in the habit of making what is called a spiritual communion. What is this spiritual communion we're talking about? Well, a spiritual communion is the following. We pray, Lord, I really believe that you are truly present in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I believe that you're present in Holy Communion. Lord, I cannot receive you sacramentally because I can't go to Mass. But come at least spiritually into my heart. Then maybe a few seconds of silence. Invite Jesus into the depths of your heart. Then pray to him and thank him. Ask the Lord to strengthen your faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. Ask the Lord to strengthen your hope. Jesus, I trust in you. Ask the Lord to strengthen your love. Lord, I love you, but help me to love you more and more each day. So, my friends, we're talking today about 10 different ways in which we can fast. In other words, we're opening up the door to a much more extensive interpretation of fasting. Remember, we're called to go, for our conversion, we're called to go up, in, and out. Up, in, and out. Up through prayer, in through penance, and out through almsgiving. Okay, second way in which we can fast is the following. Fasting with respect to our tongue. With respect to our tongue. And you might even read in your Bible, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 in your Bible. It's a great chapter to try to understand that fasting can be from that of food and drink. But a really good fast would be to try to fast from committing sin. That's the whole idea of conversion. Conversion means we want to renounce sin from our lives. As mortal enemy number one in our lives is that of sin. Sin is our worst enemy. St. James chapter 3. St. James chapter 3. In this chapter, which is a masterpiece on the importance of speech, St. James says that we should be slow to speak. We should be slow to speak. And we should be quick to listen. Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas Aquinas says that God has given us two ears and one mouth. It's interesting that we have these two ears and we have one mouth. We have two ears so we can listen twice as much as we speak. And St. James says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. In this chapter 3, St. James goes on to say that the human person is able to tame almost any animal. Animals can be trained and tamed. But it says how difficult it is to train and to tame the tongue. Because really, if you look at the tongue, it's not so much the tongue that has to be trained, but rather it's the heart. Because as Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Really, to be honest with you, all the words that come out of the mouth, all the words that come out of our mouth, really, they're coming from our heart. For that reason, Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're called to purify our hearts. Really, what comes out of your mouth is the indication of what we have in our hearts. That's why, as we said earlier, you receive Holy Communion. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. You fill yourself with God in Holy Communion. Then the words that come forth from your mouth are going to be words that are going to help out people. Vatican II, Sacrosanctum Concilium, says with respect to Mass that there are two tables. That's what I'm talking about right now. There's a table of the Word of God. That's the Bible. And every time we come together, my friends, in our Perseverance family, we're all trying to get to know the Word of God better. I'm purposely talking about fasting, and I'm giving you 10 different ways. Is because the first reading of Isaiah and the Gospel, the theme is that of fasting. So, the second way of fasting is we should try to control our tongue. James chapter 3. And it's true, he says that you can train all different types of animals, but the tongue is one of the most difficult things to control. You know, years ago, when I was a child in New York, remember once my father took me and my older brother to the circus. And it was Barnum and Bailey Three Ring Circus. Maybe you've gone to that. Barnum and Bailey Three Ring Circus. In this circus, I remember a couple of things. Walking on the trapeze. But I also remember there was a Volkswagen, and we had 10 clowns getting out of the Volkswagen. thought that was really comical to see such a small car and 10 clowns coming out. But related to our topic of controlling the tongue, I remember that there was a bear in the circus, and he was driving a motorcycle. He was driving around a rink on a motorcycle, and this was a bear. I said, this is incredible. And he looked like he was driving the motorcycle better than some people can drive on the freeway. No pun intended. So this is a really good fasting we could try to undertake during these holy days of Lent. During these holy days of Lent. Being slow to speak and quick to listen. St. James goes on to say that with the same tongue, that we are praising God, we end up by cursing out our neighbor. And that shouldn't happen. Because the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, than to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're called to love God. This is a beautiful thing we could try to live out in Lent. To love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, than to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love our neighbor as ourselves. There's a good Lenten proposal for you. So how ironic. Here we are praising God during the Mass, or praising God during our Psalms or Holy Hour. You know, maybe driving on the freeway and someone cuts us off, and it happens. So we say a bad word toward that person that cut us off. Maybe he was wrong. But next time that someone cuts you off, maybe what you can do is praise the Lord and say Hail Mary for that person. Some of you are thinking, Father Broom, you're crazy. Well, I know it's hard. But we're called not to follow the world. We're called not to follow the world. We're called to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have to be countercultural. Countercultural. Jesus says, if someone smacks you in the cheek, then turn the other cheek. I'm not saying that's easy. That's very difficult. Jesus says if someone asks you to walk 1 mile, walk 2 miles. Jesus says if someone asks for your cloak, give them your shirt as well. Jesus asked for something to borrow, give it to him. Jesus says to pray for your enemies, love your enemies. Because your Heavenly Father allows the sun to shine down upon the good as well as the bad. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to you beside. So, my friends, we're talking today in our lively conversation on different ways in which we can practice the fasting. As we mentioned at the beginning of our talk, Ash Wednesday we're called to conversion, and Father Al's three-dimensional dynamic. We're called to go up. We're called to go in. We're called to go out. Go up through prayer. Go in through penance. Go out through almsgiving. One last idea on the controlling of our tongue. And this is going to be probably an effort that we have to make all our lives to try to purify our hearts so that our words are going to be pleasing to God. Jesus goes on to say that every word that comes out of our mouth, we're going to be judged on it. That might sound a little bit scary, but it's true. One day we're going to be judged. So we should live in such a way that we go before the judgment seat of Jesus. He'll be pleased what we're going to be giving to him. He'll be pleased what we're going to be giving to him. So, finishing up this idea of fasting with the tongue, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, he's known as the mellifluous doctor of the church. Mellifluous means honey mouth, because Saint Bernard was so eloquent in the way he would write and preach. He gives us three criteria or ways that we should speak. And you might even write this down and see if we can live this out. He says we open up our mouths to speak, of course. We open up our mouths to praise God, number one. Number two would be to accuse ourselves. And number three would be to edify our neighbor. Not bad, huh? So called to praise God, to accuse ourselves, and to edify our neighbors. What does Saint Bernard mean by those three different ways of using our speech? Well, to praise God. To praise God. Many of you have done the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius Loyola. You remember, in the spiritual exercises, Saint Ignatius says that we, man as well as woman, is called to praise God. That's the first and most important obligation of all of us. We are called to praise God. And going back to number one, if you really want to praise God well, then the best way you can praise God is by going to Mass. You know, when the priest lifts up the host, and he says or sings, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. That's called the doxology. And the doxology means we're called to praise God. And that doxology, we're praising God the Father by the offering of God the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. There we have it. We're praising God the Father through the offering of God the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So St. Bernard says we're called to praise God. Then he says we're called to accuse ourselves. What might that mean? Well, by accusing ourselves, that can be even interpreted by another important thing to do in Lent. That might make a good confession. Making a good confession. We're accusing ourselves of the fact that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And the responsorial psalm of the Mass today is the same one we had on Ash Wednesday. The responsorial psalm today is Psalm 50 or 51. Named, it's called also the Miserere. And this is David, actually, he's accusing himself. Yes. This psalm comes as a response to David humbly admitting his sin against Bathsheba and against her husband Urias. Remember Bathsheba. David took Bathsheba and he committed adultery with her. Then Bathsheba conceives a child. And David, not knowing what to do, David tries to get Urias to have relations to his wife so as to blame the pregnancy on him. But he won't go down and have relations with her because he's at war. Then David places Uriah in the front field of battle. And he tells Joab to pull the troops back. Which he does. And then Urias is mowed down. He's killed. And Nathan the prophet tells the parable to David, and then David finally admits that he has committed this terrible sin. Basically, David had entered into a state of denial. David did not want to admit honestly and humbly that he had committed adultery and murder. So to accuse ourselves of our many faults. You know what's interesting, my friends? St. Augustine will go on to say, what an insightful comment. The more we point our finger at others, accusing them or maybe condemning them, the less we examine our own consciences. How easy it is for us to look at others and to see their faults and to point our finger and condemn them. How easy it is to point our fingers and to condemn others. And we're blind to our own faults. Jesus will go on to say, why do you want to take the speck out of your brother's eye? When you have a plank or beam in your own eye. First take the plank out of your own eye. And then you can take the speck out of your own eye. How easy it is for us to see faults in others and we become blind to our own faults. So St. Bernard is speaking about ways in which we can please God by our speech. That is by praising God and going back to number one, going to Mass and going to the Eucharist and receiving the bread of life. That's a great way to praise God. Then another Lenten proposal for fasting would be referring once again to James chapter 3. To make an effort to control our tongues. Remember the words of Jesus. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then St. James warns us. He says we should be slow to speak. Slow to speak and quick to listen. And the last thing that St. Bernard says, we should speak to edify others. I like that word, edify. Edify, my friends, the verb to edify means to build up. To build up others. To encourage others. To strengthen others, to fortify others. So my friend, let's turn to Mary. Let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us out. Mary praised the Lord. And Mary received Jesus into her heart when she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to thy word. How did Mary praise the Lord? In her Magnificat. She said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let us beg Mary for the grace to really praise God. By our words, but also by the way we live. May God bless all of you. And I'll give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.